David, come join me up here. Come on, be quick now, guys. Come on. Tommy, you come up here too. I need another guy. Come on back here. Come on back. Well, guys, here we are. Yeah. Encounter. We're closer to the cross than ever, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the blood. I don't remember which one of those is mine, but mine's up there somewhere. I just don't want to leave this place. I mean, I feel so close to Jesus. I wonder what's on the other side of the door. That's all new to me out there. There's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be obstacles, people I've never met. Are you concerned about it? Are you worried? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels comfortable here. This feels like my spot.
Feels like your spot. Yeah, it's a great place to be. Yeah. I just don't want to leave. I don't want to leave the cross. I like this reality. I don't want to go face that reality.
Back to work?
Oh, man. Yeah, back to work. Wait, I am at work. What am I talking about?
You're not clocking out yet.
No, I'm not clocking out yet. Well, I'm going to open the door. And I'm going to see what's on the other side.
Okay.
Make sure and
text you. I appreciate the brotherhood there.
We'll be
for you. There's people. There's Vicky. And the thing is, and you guys can be seated. Thank you for. The thing is Encounter participants, you guys are standing at the doorway, and you're getting ready to step back into reality. Okay, and you are close to the cross right now. Well, I want to show you something. You can step back into reality, and sometimes the cross can even be hidden from your view. But all I have to do is open that door and come close to it again. You see, it's like I shared when early in our marriage, in our relationship actually, not our marriage, we were dating. And Patrice shared with me, she said, I was in a dry season, and you're going to hit the dry season. And she helped me understand, you know what, when you hit the dry season, and you feel like you're far from God, who moved? Who moved? It was me. I'm the one that moved. All I have to do is walk back over here. And if that door's been closed for a while, I just got to open that door back and come back close to the cross. Encounter is best summed up, if we have that PowerPoint pulled up there, in a passage of Scripture in Hebrews. Let me, there we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You got it up there? Yeah. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. I think this is the Message version, perhaps. I was reading the NIV earlier, but huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up and tangles us, is what some versions say. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and who perfects our faith. Now, the good news is y'all are still sitting here, and it's after 12 o'clock, and you're still sitting here. So that's good news. The even better news is I'm going on vacation, and that's not a lie. Because by 12:30, I'm going to be out of here. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I figured so. So I'm going on vacation, and we're loaded up at the house. It's my new backpack. I just bought it recently. I like it. It's see how slim it is? I feel like it makes me look slimmer, right? You got to do what you can, right? And so I'm going on vacation, and my luggage is at the house, so y'all just have to work with me. But I got to get my luggage and carry my luggage with me so I can go on vacation. So I'm carrying the bags because my son is playing on Instagram or something, and I can't get through the door. I guess you could say it's a wide load here. Y'all just keep the laughter down on that one. If there was the door frame all the way. I couldn't make it, could I? There was another door frame over here on this other side. I'm not making it through, am I? And I think that's what Paul somehow, see, I put the clicker in my back pocket and I clicked it. I didn't even notice it. Don't go back to that wide load remark. So, Paul is, what he's saying is we're surrounded by a great cloud or crowd of witnesses. There's people all around us who have run this race of faith. And he's saying that in order to run this race, all this stuff that you're carrying, all this baggage, you got to strip it off. You got to leave it behind you so you can run the race that's in front of you. And so that's what we do when we come to encounter, or actually when we come to the cross. And we receive the life of Jesus into our life. We receive forgiveness so that all the baggage is left there at the cross, right? Yeah. Here's the problem that we have. We're out here in the free world, man. Brother, I'm running. I'm happy. I'm eating Krispy Kremes. Because he brought them. But here's the problem. I'm out here in this world, and I got more baggage. And this one's even heavier than those two. And I pick up this baggage and I walk around like this and I do life. And hey, Matt, Rachel, you guys want to go to American Pie? Let's go get some pizza, some butter, some garlic, some what do they call buffalo butterballs? Let's eat some butterballs. Those things are good, aren't they? I like this luggage that I'm carrying around. What do you think about my baggage? See my baggage? It's kind of obvious, isn't it? And so we walk around. And we just keep carrying this stuff because life happens. Because you know what? I get hurt sometimes. And you know what I do when I'm hurt? I pick up that hurt. It's a pretty hurt, isn't it? Doesn't really match my clothes today. Sorry. But I pick up my hurt and I walk around with my hurt for a really long time. And now I'm just weighed down. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really out of shape, Mike. I could use your conditioning, sir. Maybe I need to be a police officer. I'll get in shape that way, right? And so here's the deal, because I'm out of shape, because I haven't been disciplined. I'm out of shape because I haven't been disciplined. And all this baggage that I'm carrying is getting heavier, and I'm not going to lie, it is getting heavier. This one especially. No, I'm just kidding. And so we carry this baggage around with us in life. And all encounter does is it gives us an opportunity to just come back to that place and realize, and soon, you know what, after a little bit, I played guitar during encounter for 2 days, and I'm not conditioned to play guitar because I haven't played in so long. Man, I'm out of shape. And my fingers, I don't have the calluses I used to have. The muscles are fine, but the calluses, and it's painful. It just hurts because I haven't been playing guitar. And you know what? After a while, after I keep playing guitar, if I keep playing a couple times a week going forward, I won't even feel it anymore. You know what? I keep feeling, walking around with this baggage. My right hand, the four fingers that are on the underside of this strap right here are starting to get a little numb. I'm just going to be honest with you. Pretty soon, I'm not going to feel it anymore. And so I'm carrying this baggage around. And I don't even notice it because it's become a part of me. In fact, not only am I carrying it, but watch, now I'm walking with it in step. It's like almost attached to my leg. And it goes with me wherever I go. So encounter gives us this opportunity, guys. I'm sorry, sound crew. Gives us this opportunity to come back to the cross and leave it there. And know that I don't have to carry it anymore. One of the things I kept praying for people this weekend is that God would make them light-headed, light-hearted, and light-footed. Not, you've been wobbly-headed, light-headed, right? Not spinning world, dizzy, crazy stuff, but light-headed, like, ooh. I prayed a lot that God would make us light-headed, that the guilt and the shame that we've been, some of you have heard talk about, be lifted out of our mind because we're carrying it around so hard, so long, and it's so hard to keep going. And then we become lighthearted because our hearts are hard. And we need the cleansing of our Savior. We need to be in His presence. We need to renew that faith commitment to Him. And then we would become light-footed because we understand, you know what? We're walking on holy ground. We used to sing it. I won't try. I wish I could sing because it's a beautiful and a powerful song. We are standing on holy ground. Beautiful, beautiful song. Surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. That gives me confidence because you know what? I'm not alone. There's others that have ran this race and that are running with me. And you've heard, and I told the guys and ladies last night, when you go through encounter, it becomes your encounter. It gets personal. You stop saying that encounter weekend and you start saying when I went through my encounter. Because it's powerful. Because you encounter the love of a Father who created you. See, I understood, I came to understand something in recent weeks, really. I just never did the math. I should have known. I just never did the math. I never knew that I was really conceived out of wedlock. So just recently, I don't know. I never wanted to know my mom and dad's anniversary date. That was a part of my childhood I was just checked out of. So I wanted to be sure. One of the things, just put it out there in front of you. One of the things that I came up here is I didn't want to feel like I was a bastard anymore, to be honest with you. I didn't want to feel like that was Rick. I don't want that spirit attaching to me. I don't want to walk this life with this concept that, you know what, they only got married because of you. And so I left it here at the altar, and I had some guys pray with me. So I don't remember who it was. We're not walking alone anymore. We're together. As I look across this congregation, there's a lot of you that have been through encounter. I appreciate Michael and Maury, you guys coming back. It's been a love-hate relationship with that request. I love you, Pastor Rick. I hate that you asked me to come back a second time. But they love that they came back a second time. And what we're finding out, we're just discovering this, is that really, when we go through it as leaders, we're going through it as participants. You know, we're just, and so what we are growing to understand is that, you know what, you just can't really set aside too much time for Jesus.
That's right.
Anytime you can take 12, 16 hours out of your life and say, you know what, I want to consecrate myself to the Lord and just encounter him in a fresh way, that's powerful.
Right.
And we need that. So let me talk to you real quickly about the reality. What are you going back to? You're going back to the reality of the spiritual world, of the spirit world. See, we have a hard time in the Western church because... You mean demons and angels, those things really exist? We don't see it. Yeah, you do. We just don't look at it. Watch the news. That child molestation, that rape, that murder, what you think was behind it? That was a demon. That's not God's plan. That's the plan of the enemy. Remember, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Okay, so we're going to go back. We're going back to reality. We're going to step back in and encounter participants. We're right here. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful place, but we got to walk. Thank God all this baggage is behind us. I can't go over it. But we got to step back into the reality, and reality is the spirit world. The second thing is we got to come back, or we're going back into the reality of our own spiritual life. And that just means that you know what? I'm responsible for me now. But hopefully, in one of our goals in Encounter Weekend is we don't want to create codependency. It's not about Pastor Rick, and it's not about Dave and Leslie. It's not about anybody else. It's about coming face to face with Jesus so that you get the tools so you can succeed in life. So when you walk out and you face junk in your life, you know how to overcome it.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is because you are disciplined in your spiritual life. You're going back into the reality of your spiritual life. The third thing is you're going back into the reality of spiritual warfare. It's real. It's very real. Every one of these encounter participants and leaders will tell you, stuff happens the week of it or 2 weeks out. It always happens. The enemy wants to sideline you. He wants to keep you away. He wants you to get sick. He just wants to do whatever he can to keep you away from here. I have no idea what my notes say this morning. I'm kidding. I'm just moving through them quickly. The fourth thing is that we are going back into the reality of the victory of Christ in our lives. And that's what gives us great confidence and hope. Because we can face the spirit world. We can face our spiritual life, our disciplines, our prayer, our Bible study, our worship. I'm responsible for that. I can't come home with you and force feed you the Word of God. You've got to do it on your own. Right? I can't be there. I can't spoon feed you. At some point, you and I have to say, you know what? It's time to man up and I got to walk with Christ. Because it's on me now. The pastor can't. I don't really want the pastor at my house 24/7. Right? Now, Thursday night, if you got some lasagna, that's a good time. But I'm just kidding. But you and I, we have to take ownership of this thing. We have to go back into the reality of spiritual warfare and understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and those things are that are demonic in our world. That's what we're wrestling with. I'm not wrestling with David. I'm not wrestling with Michael. I'm not wrestling with Michelle or Rob. I'm wrestling with those things that are trying to do damage to my life. They're trying to do damage to our families. They're trying to do damage to our marriages. They're trying to do damage to our children. That's what I'm wrestling with. I'm not wrestling with my kids. I'm wrestling with the evil that's trying to influence my kids. Amen? All right, I'm a little bit passionate about it. But I am going on vacation. Hallelujah. What time we got? I told you 12:30. Yeah! All right, move quickly. Let's talk about substitute Jesus. No, he was not in third grade. Substitute. It means to stand in the place of someone else. I want you to see these scriptures and I want you to see them in a new way. Jesus was your substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin. He substituted his life for me, for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's just good news, y'all. Give God glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Though he, Jesus, was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He substituted. Amen. Galatians 3:13 and 14. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. See how he substituted his life? So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of them talked about it. A couple of them got refilled or filled for the first time in a really long time. They've been filled before. And some people just got an overwhelming filling of the Holy Spirit last night. I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most powerful Holy Spirit times that I've ever had, especially since I've been in Mountain Gap Church, but in quite a while. It was great. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Galatians 4:5, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law so that we might receive the full rights of son. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 says that he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, that means alive or dead, we might live together with him. 1 Peter 2:24, the next two verses right there. He himself, Jesus, that's him, he himself is Jesus. He bore our sin in his body on the tree, and it says, by his wounds you have been healed. That's good news. But we're going back into reality. And I want you to take, just for a second, for 3 or 4 minutes, I want to take you back to early church. Because early church, we were no different. We have the same God. We have the same Savior. We have the same Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
He's the same. Say, he's the same. Check this out. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many. Yeah, I like that word. Miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while they were praising God and enjoying, that's good, enjoying the goodwill or favor of all the people. And the Lord, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what do you do next? What do you do next? That's reality. See, that's what we're supposed to be walking in. Isn't it? Thank you, Bart. That's where we're supposed to be living, guys. I just want to ask you, if you could just kind of like do a Spider-Man thing and plaster yourself up against that screen, does your life match up to that? Does your present reality match up to that? So let's work toward that, guys. Let's get there. Let's get there. We're getting there. We got strengthened relationships. We got deeper walks with the Lord. We got disciples that are more fully. That go through encounter, they're walking more closely with the Lord. We're getting there. We're getting there. So what's next? Just a few things. Number one, stay free. I want to tell you something. Encounter participants, let me talk to you for a second. Guys, give me your eyes. How do you know when you've been through an encounter weekend? The enemy comes knocking on your door this week. I'm telling you the truth. Look out for it. It's going to happen. This is not a field of daisies that you're living in. All right? So look out for it. You're going to be under attack. Just realize that. The enemy, nothing has changed with his strategy. Number two, walk in victory. Don't doubt. When you begin to think nothing has changed, don't doubt. Don't give in to it. If new memories surface, if something else comes up, just get your own personal cross. Just go to, get down beside your bed or beside your recliner, kneel, and say, I'm coming to you, God. Confess, renounce, choose truth, and choose God. Don't doubt, though. When you sin, confess it immediately. Don't wait. Be like David. Choose the truth. Trust the blood of Jesus. Number three, grow up. Grow up. That's the hard part, but we're responsible for that. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it because everybody needs to hear it again. You need to be connected to a church, a local church. You need the body of believers. You can't do this walk alone. Isolation is a strategy of the enemy. Well, the Lord just wants me to stay home today. Okay, maybe today, but he wants you to stay home this month. What? I don't know about that. The enemy will take you out when he gets you alone. That's what he wants to do. Don't do it. Connect to the church. Connect to others. It's not just about membership. It's about relationship as well. You need relationships. So connect to others. Connect groups. There's a mention in the bulletin this week for a connect group, I think, this upcoming. And I know some of that, you know, during the summer has been a little bit on bumpy road, but we're getting back into fall and things will get back into the groove. I know our group took a couple months off because of timing and stuff. Connect with your daily Bible study. Connect with God continually. Pray, praise, be in his presence. Remain in Christ. John 15:5. Just look it up. Guard your thoughts. Don't drift. And then fourth is live bold. Galatians 5:13 says this, and I'm going to wrap it up. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Say, I am called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Tyler, can you come on up? Then he goes on to tell them to walk by the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit would be demonstrated. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Live bold. Live boldly for Christ. So the ironic thing about walking with Christ is this. Jesus is our starting point, but Jesus is also our finish line. He's where we start. I'm trying to get back to the right slide. I'll read it to you instead. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles us and the sin that so easily besets us or weighs us down. And let us run the race that is marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. See, he's where I started and he's where I'll finish. It's really just that simple. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and he's also the finisher of my faith. Will you stand with me? Thank you for being patient. Don't leave yet. I want to ask an important question. I want to ask an important question. You've heard a lot of testimonies of real people, and nobody's been put up to anything except for Caleb. Caleb just got invited to come up. By the way, you did awesome. You did. I'm going to tell you guys, all of you guys really went after God. I've been preaching a sermon series this summer called Heroes. You're my heroes this week. You're my heroes. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is he far from you? He hasn't moved. Bow your heads with me just for a moment. Close your eyes. This is between you and God and me right now. And I just want to ask you a question. Do you need to say, Jesus, I'm pretty far from you right now, and I need you in my life. If you're in this room today, and I'm not even, most of the time I invite people to come up, I'm not even going to do that. I just want to ask you to slip up a hand and let me pray for you right where you are. If you're here this morning, you would say, Rick, I need to commit my life to Christ. Would you do that? Would you just slip up a hand right there where you are? I won't call you out. I won't single you out. Is there anybody? I'm just going to wait another moment. Thank you. Is someone else? Is there anybody else? Thank you. Just going to wait just another moment longer. Is there anyone else? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for these men, these women that have gone through Encounter Weekend, Lord. I thank you for the bold and courageous faith they have. Lord, I just pray a blessing over them. As they step through that door back into reality, that the cross would never be too far from them. They would be very close. The reality of the victory of Jesus in their life will never leave them. They'll walk in the presence of victory, God. And Father, I thank you for those folks that raised their hand today and said, you know what, I'm far from God. And so, church, I just want to invite you to pray with me for those people. You don't need to know who they are. It's not important. Just pray. God, we pray for those folks right now, Lord. Slipped up a hand. God, I just pray right now that you would encourage them, God, and you would pour out your love. Just like I was able to baptize folks a little bit ago. And they were immersed in the water. I pray that you would just immerse them in your love. God, that they're not abandoned. They're not forsaken. And that you've never left them. But you're right there. And you're right beside them. And you love them right now. And so, Father, I pray for bold and courageous faith to stay in your presence. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a second, I just want to speak for a second. If you slipped up your hand, or if you haven't slipped up your hand and maybe you were just concerned about what I was going to do next, and I get that because I've been concerned too when I was sometimes sitting in your spot. I really just want to say to you, he loves you, and if you'll just cry out to him, God will forgive you of your sin, and he'll receive you into your arms, his arms, as if nothing ever happened. He'll cleanse you. All you have to do is say, God, I messed up, or I am messed up, and I need you again. But I want to say something to you, whether you raised a hand or not. That responsibility is yours. It's really easy, though. You just call out to him, and he listens. If you need somebody to pray with you after service, we'll hang back a few minutes. The interstate's still going to be open when we go south. We'll be okay. It'd be our great honor, our privilege to pray with you. So we're going to stay up here. I'm going to ask Tyler to sing in just a moment. I'm going to pray one closing prayer. If you need prayer, you come up during this time. If you don't, if you just want to dismiss quietly so that those who need prayer can receive that. Father, thank you for this day, the day you have made. Thank you for your mercies, which have been new this morning, Lord. Thank you for grace. And thank you for your Son. Lord, bless us, God. As we go, Lord, may we be blessed to be a blessing, to pour out our lives and give our lives, the life that we received in Christ, to others that are around us that are hurting and in pain. In his name we pray. Amen.
Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Won't you